Chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that our hearts say, "Thanks be to God," when that declaration is made. This is the word of the Lord. And we pray that your word may come alive afresh in our hearts, as we wait for the whispering of your Spirit and the power of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I reckon that Matthew 4, verse 2 is one of the greatest understatements in the whole of the Bible. It's easily said, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Just a little bit hungry, and probably a little bit thirsty too. He had, Jesus, an acute awareness of lack. In the wilderness, there's a lot of lack. A lack of water, a lack of food, a lack of shade by day, a lack of warmth by night, a lack of company, and a lack of comfort. And all of us, in different times in our lives, find ourselves in that wilderness experience with a lot of lack, feeling empty or depressed, bored, or even broken. And some of you will be in that place right now. And for some of you, simply coming to church today has taken every inner resource that you can muster. Jesus experienced wilderness at different times in his life, but they always resulted in him facing tough choices. And the tempter came to him, we read, and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." He had to make a choice, to gratify self or to glorify God. And in a sense, if we read those three temptations, which I'm not going to this morning, but they all offer that same choice, to gratify self or to glorify God. Jesus made his choice and stuck to it, and that formed the foundation of all that he was and all that he did. And I often think about the way in which Jesus must have talked to his disciples after that time, maybe weeks, months later, We know he must have talked to them and reflected on it with them, otherwise how would we have got this detailed account of what happened in the temptations as he was on his own? So looking back, he must have said to them, you know, I didn't know it at the time, but now I can see how it was the Spirit of God, the Spirit of my Father that led me into that place. As we read in Luke's Gospel, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. It says in Matthew's Gospel, the same thing, is led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And he was able to reflect and see what it was that he'd learned having been in that place. He'd learned the most important thing possible to learn for living the life that God had enabled him to live. And that is dependence on the inner resources that were the Father's life in him. And I've spoken to many people over the years who've looked back on wilderness experiences, times of real desert and testing, and they've been able to see how, with the value of hindsight, how the Spirit of God enabled them to learn dependence in a way that they'd never done before, that their faith, that deep trust in God, had been honed in the furnace of suffering. And whether you saw Songs of Praise last week, I just happened to catch it, and there's a Pentecostal pastor from East Africa there called Daniel Habley, who in 2002, his church was forced to close down and he had to leave the country. He decided to walk to Sudan via Libya, you know, as one does. Yet he took his wife and his young baby son with him and about 25 other members of that community, and he walked through the desert 15 days. His thirst was huge, and he was forced to drink dirty water from a drained reservoir. Anyway, 15 days later, he arrived in Libya. Straight away, he was arrested for being a Christian, put in prison, but thankfully released 3 days later because of his child, he said. And Pam Rhodes asked him about what he'd learned from that experience. And he said this: sometimes looking at the situation doesn't help you, but trusting the Lord and believing his promises can give you life. You found that? Just keep looking at the situation. Oh, it's dreadful. But looking up, looking out, trusting the Lord, believing his promises gives you life. We're often asked and tempted to ask, why is this happening to me? Maybe a more fruitful question would be, what might God want me to learn through this? St. Luke describes Jesus as returning to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. It's not surprising in a way that Jesus told his disciples, or towards the effect, I came back out of that experience absolutely fired. Absolutely fired up to do what God has sent me to do. He was exhilarated. He was empowered. And I'm not going to tell you what temptations I've managed to overcome, but I think I can say, and I hope there's somebody else here who feels this too, that when you do overcome a really big temptation in your life to gratify self rather than glorify God, there's a real sense of exhilaration. Yes! God's life, God's blessing, God actually honors you and gives you a sense of strength. You've done it. Well done, kid. That's great. There's a real sense of exhilaration, of power, because you know that in God's strength, and you've done it once, you can do it again and again and again, and that's discipleship. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and St. Mark records him as saying, the time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe the good news. Repent is all you need to do. Turn away from gratifying yourself, turn toward glorifying God, and you will find life. That's the great news. And I have come, he said in St. John's Gospel chapter 10 and verse 10, that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus comes to proclaim good news to us. The good news is that God provides food that restores the soul, as the psalmist says. And only God can provide that which truly satisfies the deepest need and our greatest longing. What this passage tells us is, don't let the tempter trick you into thinking you will find your deepest hungers met in any other way. So let's get practical for the last few minutes of my sermon. What is the food that God provides? What is this food, this bread? Apart from himself, which is the ultimate provision that God gives for us, I want to think of two things: word and work. Word and work. You remember the response that Jesus gave to the tempter when he tempted him to turn those stones into bread? Man, people of every age, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you think back, just immediately before Jesus' temptations, he was baptized in the River Jordan. The Holy Spirit came down and he heard the voice of the one saying to him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom my soul delights." Words that echo the scriptures from the Old Testament. Those words became, in that wilderness experience, engraved on Jesus' heart. They became personal to him in such a way that it became and formed his identity, who he was. He was the beloved Son of God. And nothing could shake that. And it was out of that security and out of that identity that he lived the whole of his life. If you are the Son of God. Absolutely he was the Son of God. Because God had pronounced it to be true. I wonder whether you've had an experience of God's word that you've read, and then somehow it becomes personal to you. It becomes really real in your own heart, and you know God through his Spirit is speaking to you. My New Testament tutor at Theological College in Oxford introduced the study of Greek and the whole of the New Testament by holding up a Bible and saying, "This, gentlemen and ladies, is God's love letter to you." Sat down again. That got us interested in the New Testament. God's love letter to us. And there was somebody from my church the other week who said to me, "Joe, I want to read the Bible. Where can I get the Bible in a more modern translation? I've got a King James version of the Bible. It doesn't, it's very complicated. I want to read the Bible. I want to really get to grips with the scriptures." And I thought to myself, she is in for such a feast from God's word. Because somebody with a hunger for God's word will know huge blessing. It will feed her. It will be Jesus meeting her and hearing her called the beloved. And Lent has traditionally been a time to read the scriptures, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. Can I suggest, in the light of this evening's activities, that we baptize one another, and we are baptized ourselves in the Holy Spirit and in his word. That we are soaked, drenched, fully immersed in the word of God over this Lent and how it speaks to us today in every aspect of our lives. Man, the whole of humanity, shall live by hearing and feeding on God's word. That's the first thing. And the second is this, is work. Because God has given us work as a gift to sustain and satisfy us if we're doing God's work. What do I mean by God's work? Certainly not only church work. Sometimes people say, oh, I'm going to work for God. I'm going to work for God. I'm going to be something in the church. I'm going to get ordained. Or I'll work for God. We work for God wherever we are, whatever we're doing. We are co-workers, says the New Testament, with Christ in the world. Whether we're a company director, a computer programmer, a chef or a cleaner, whether we're a parent, politician, volunteer or a vicar, we are all in partnership with Jesus and part of his mission. Later in Lent, we're going to be hearing an episode from John chapter 4 where the Samaritan woman comes to Jesus. But just before that, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, aren't you hungry? And he says to them, I have food that you know nothing about. And they go away completely mystified. And then they come back after he's met with the Samaritan woman. And he says, let us get you something. Let's go down to Tesco's and get a sandwich or something. But he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That is what sustains me, says Jesus. So what was God's work? We read in Corinthians that St. Paul says that God was in Christ reconciling all things through the cross, restoring things into a right relationship with himself. Not just people, but all things in heaven and on earth. And this Lent, we're going to be looking at how through the cross, Jesus restores all things. You might say he might be the ultimate restoration man. He restores relationships, identity, hope, vision, and purpose. And we're going to be looking at those themes over Lent. And then on Easter Day, how he restores life itself. Together, we all play a tiny part in God's purposes. And the emphasis this Lent is going to be particularly on the way in which God restores creation. And during Lent, our focus is going to be on fasting from the things that cause global warming. It's warm enough in here this morning, isn't it? Goodness. But the world's temperature is rising to an extent that huge, huge damage is taking place. And that's why we want to participate in this 40-day carbon fast. And Jeff Payne, we've made him a carbon fast consultant. It's a great title, isn't it? That's what Jeff is now over Lent, our carbon fast consultant. And he's going to be thinking and helping us to understand all sorts of ways of being co-workers together with God. Jeff, have you got your bag with you? Come on out. Come on up here a minute. And perhaps we can have the first slide. You come up, second, you can come and talk to here in a second. We don't need that. That's great. Jeff's brought with him a loaf of bread. And this is a very good idea that will just help you and help us all just to think about little things while we're shopping. Come and tell us why we've got a loaf of bread. What does L stand for?
Well, I bought the loaf in Staple Hill. And it was the milk, the wheat was actually ground in Bristol. So L stands for local. When we're shopping, it's helpful to remember the word loaf stands for local. Then organic is the next word. Organically produced is very helpful for the environment. The next letter is A. Animal friendly, caring for the animals, making sure they're not in bad conditions. And the last one is fairly traded. By buying fairly traded products, especially from abroad, we are helping the people in those communities, and we're also helping the environment. And just as a little visual aid for you to remember, I think you can see this.
Yeah, we should have it on the screen, is it, Violet, coming up? There we are.
Oh, it's on the screen as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay. Great, thank you, Jeff.
Okay.
So, take that loaf of bread. It's a delicious loaf.
This is.
That's one of the many millions of ideas that Jeff has that will help us, and we can find out obviously more in the Carbon Fast booklet that is available for us to have. It's not something that we want to do, we can possibly do every time, every week that we eat. But maybe one meal a week we can make organic. Maybe just have a banana that is fairly traded. Maybe once a month we can go to the coffee at Melanie's Kitchen. Just take a little step that will help us to move closer to God's purposes. So, let us. What's the, if I said something funny? Yeah. Okay. Let's pray then. While you're still laughing. Let's pray. Lord, you have said in your word that you satisfy the hungry with good things. We thank you for the good things that you give us, but we thank you that it is you who gives them to us, that you satisfy those hungers. And we thank you that you offer us your word to feed on and your work to share in. May we be thankful that you have made us co-workers in your harvest, and that we might be focused on your mission as we seek to stay close to you and to live in the power of your strength, overcoming temptation and moving in the power of your Spirit. Amen.